Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Today we come your way live from the Lorain Public Library System studios, and a lot happening this evening when we jump off the air at 5 o'clock. It's the WEOL Scholastic Games of Lorain County presented by the Elyria Public Library System. Then we have Indians baseball, and after that, a very important Game 6 for the Columbus Blue Jackets, down 3-2 in their series against the Boston Bruins. And here to talk about the Blue Jackets is Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network. A pleasure to have you on, my friend. I know these are really, really busy times between baseball and hockey. Do you ever get any downtime?
Oh, I don't know what that word means. I can barely get any sleep, but it's a lot of fun, obviously, to be a part of all of what's going on right now. You know, we had the watch party at Nationwide Arena for Game 5, and there were 13,187 fans in there at Nationwide with no game going on the ice. They were just watching on the big screen, and it was, during that third period, absolutely bonkers. When the Blue Jackets first got that disputed goal and they announced it, the place went crazy, and then the momentum continued to build. They were able to tie the game at 3, and it was a loud house in there at Nationwide Arena before finally, with just a minute and a half to go, Pasternak broke the tie and Boston gets the win. So the Blue Jackets right now have to obviously win or their season is over, but that's what makes the playoffs so fun.
An emotional roller coaster, as you described it, on Saturday night, falling 4-3 in a game where they had a terrific third period. You described that loss, and you're not alone in this. Many others have really kind of described it the same way, as a gut punch. Elaborate, if you could, on that, as to why that loss was just so deflating in the third period.
Well, I think the Blue Jackets didn't play their best hockey in the first and some of the second period as well. John Tortorella, after the game, said that he liked his team's effort, and certainly he's not trying to throw anybody under the bus in any way, shape, or form, but I think the Jackets had more to give, and they finally showed that in the third period. It's been very difficult. They had a lot of great scoring chances. Tuukka Rask for Boston has been every bit as good as has been Sergei Bobrovsky for the Blue Jackets. Both goaltenders have been outstanding in this series, very, very tough to beat, and so the Blue Jackets have had some scoring chances. You look at the losses, they have outchanced Boston in some of them. So you just have to bury your opportunities. And I think that's maybe one of the things that sticks in the craw of the Blue Jackets a little bit. In a one-goal game, if you lose and you didn't bury your opportunities, those are sometimes the things that come back to haunt you and you think, oh, man, we could have had that one. We could be up 3-2 instead of down 3-2 with an opportunity to finish this one off on home ice. So I think that's the thing, and it would be the same if you talk to Boston, the games that they have lost. That's what makes it kind of a gut punch loss, is when you know you had opportunities and you didn't capitalize on them. Of course, that's what happens in sports. People have their opportunities, and those that capitalize more often than not are the ones that wind up with their hand raised at the end.
You had referenced Coach John Tortorella after the game on Saturday. He emphatically stated that he truly believes the Jackets will be back in Boston for a Game 7. There's something to be said about the confidence displayed by a coach moments after a loss that was described by you and many others as a gut punch. Why do you believe he was so incredibly confident just moments after a tough loss like that, that the Jackets would most definitely force a Game 7?
Well, that post-game interview was combative towards, and he had his back up, and he was not entertaining any kind of typical column filler questions. And so when you get that torts, you're going to get those kind of answers. And as has been said by most of the other Jackets personnel, front office, and players, what else is he going to say? It's probably it for us. We won't be back here. But of course he's going to say that we're going to be back here for Game 7. But you're right. There was some steel in his spine when he said it. And as a Jackets fan, you've got to like that your coach has the confidence to say that. Now, he wasn't, you know, proclaiming guarantees and things of that nature. He was just illustrating that he's got confidence in his team, and he should. Because, again, all of these games, save for one, have been very, very close contests. Boston was able to win a 4-1 decision, the only game that has been decided by more than a goal in this series. So he's got good reason to be confident in his team. He is that, certainly, and he expects to be back in Boston for Game 7, but of course, the Bruins are going to have something to say about that tonight.
Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Game 6 in Columbus tonight. CBJ down 3-2 in that series. Well, we talked about that third period a couple of minutes ago, and I want to revisit that. What do you think the Jackets found specifically in that third period when they really caught fire offensively?
Well, I don't know if it was anything that they found or did differently. They were just able to bury their chances. And when a goalie is as hot as Tuukka Rask is and as Sergei Bobrovsky is, if you can't create shorthanded chances, you just have to get the puck on net and hopefully create some traffic in front and block that view. Because both of these goalies right now, if they see it, they're going to stop it. And so I think the Blue Jackets were able to create a little bit of a screen in front of Rask and, you know, two guys, Ryan Dzingel and Dean Kukin, scored their first goals of the postseason. So that was big for the Jackets to get those two guys involved. But in terms of did they do anything differently, I'm not sure they didn't change their game up at all. They just were hard on the forecheck and were able to have success where they were not in the first two periods.
And, you know, I think one of the lines that certainly has been, or one of the units rather, that's certainly been under a great deal of scrutiny, especially at the beginning of this series, was Boston's top line. Now, they've certainly changed that. The last couple of games, they've scored 11 points. How can the Jackets slow that unit down?
Well, they already did, really. I mean, if you look at the first several games of this series, they kept all those guys virtually off the scoreboard. David Pastrnak had really been struggling. His goal early in the series was one that glanced off his skate that he wasn't even sure was there. So that's not really a goal that you can credit to him. But the fact that the Blue Jackets were able to keep those guys off the score sheet in the first three games, essentially, of this series, that is slowing them down. You know these guys are going to get their points, but it's more of a narrative thing than anything else right now because those guys are going to score. The fact that they're doing it in the late games of the series and not the early games, you know, if they had had those 11 points in the first two or three games and they hadn't had them since, the narrative would be, well, Marchand and Pastrnak and Bergeron have gone away. What's happened to them? So it's just a matter of when those points are being scored, when those goals are going in for those guys. They're too good, really, to stop over a seven-game series. The Blue Jackets only went four games with Tampa Bay, and Stamkos and Kucherov and Point really weren't able to get going. If Tampa was able to extend that series, would that have changed? Maybe. If those guys would have gotten going earlier, would the series have been extended? Maybe. But I think it's more narrative than anything else.
Obviously, at this stage, nobody's 100% healthy. Taking a look at the injury front, what's the status on guys like Alexander Wennberg and Riley Nash?
Neither skated this morning at the morning skate. Now, Riley Nash has been out for a couple of games, so there will be a lot of game-time decisions for the Blue Jackets. They finally got Vladislav Gavrikov in there yesterday. They signed him during the postseason from his KHL contract, and this is a guy that the Jackets have been looking for a long time. 23 years of age. He has played in the KHL. He's played in the Olympics, so he's been on big stages before. And he said he was a bit nervous before the game, but that's over with now for him. He said he's no longer nervous. He's just out there to play hockey. So the Jackets went with seven defensemen in Game 5. They may do that again in Game 6. It would be interesting to see. Clearly, you know, Ryan Murray is not getting anywhere near. They did have Marcus Hannikainen skate this morning. So health is a question for everybody, as you mentioned, in the postseason. So it's just a game-time wait-and-see decision for the Jackets.
And we'll get to one last Blue Jackets question here before we transition into some baseball. But, you know, I'm blown away by how statewide it really kind of appears as though people are really getting behind the Jackets. And, you know, I saw the other day that, you know, Saturday's game following the Derby drew the largest television rating in the history of the NHL in that Columbus market. And I think that just goes to show just how popular this team has really become. You talked about how, you know, there were over 13,000 people that were there at Nationwide Arena with no action on the ice. Ryan, it really is incredible how the city really has gotten behind this team.
Well, winning will do that, right? Everybody loves the Buckeyes. Well, I guess not everybody. The Buckeyes are a huge success statewide because it's a winning program. Let's not kid ourselves. If Ohio State football was a four-win team every year, you would see a lot of that fan base dwindle pretty quickly. So for the Blue Jackets, they've had a very solid core group of fans from their very beginnings. But winning and notoriety and, you know, major network television exposure can certainly help things out. There's a lot of room left on the Blue Jackets bandwagon. I know the Blue Jackets welcome everybody onto that bandwagon that would like to have a seat. And it'll be interesting to see going forward how the embracing of this team goes statewide. Columbus, they have always had a very good following. Other areas of the state, with TV rights and things of that nature, the Red Wings are still very popular in Northwest Ohio. The Pittsburgh Penguins have an Eastern Ohio fan base, certainly. But with the Blue Jackets, this is 3 years in a row now in the playoffs. They've gotten into the second round. The team personnel and whatever turnover there may be next year may play a factor in this, certainly. But if they keep winning, they keep getting exposure, more and more people are going to start donning those red, white, and blue jerseys, and that can only be a good thing for the Blue Jackets.
Absolutely. I think we can all agree on that. All right. Well, I mentioned we'd transition into some baseball as well. A quick Columbus Clippers question, because a lot of our Indians fans out there tuned in right now are a little worried after watching what happened at the beginning of yesterday's game and kind of wondering, well, who's left in Columbus that the Indians might be able to experiment with the two open spots right now in the rotation. There are some interesting names. You know, Jeffrey Rodriguez is a guy that's going to continue to get his shot until he proves that he doesn't deserve it, but he's been good so far. You know, without Kluber, without Clevinger, obviously, that could create some opportunities for some other guys. And, you know, I'll throw this out there to you, Ryan, because you've seen a good chunk of these guys pitch before. Asher Wojciechowski is a guy that's put up some pretty good numbers this year. He and who else would you really think should get a pretty good chance to crack the Indians' rotation with these two opportunities?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to go out and say absolutely that Wojciechowski is a guy that should get an opportunity. He does have good numbers with the Clippers. He's not on the 40-man roster right now, so that obviously goes into consideration. Outside of Rodriguez, if you're looking at prospects who look major league ready, there aren't any in AAA in terms of starters. Cody Anderson, I think, has progressed to the point where he's no longer what you would consider a prospect. Same thing with Chi-Wei Hu. He's a guy that's been in the majors each of the last 2 years as a reliever. His results have been sort of hit or miss so far this year. Wojciechowski's numbers have been very good at AAA. He's not really faced a powerhouse offense, but what should be noted, and in the good column for Wojciechowski, offense is up across the board in AAA because of the new baseball that they're using the major league spec baseball. Home runs are flying out of AAA parks like never before in the history of AAA baseball. So the fact that he is able to keep his ERA where it is and keep the ball in the yard does speak well for him. So it would not surprise me if he does get a shot. Of course, you do have to make some moves to add him to the 40-man roster and the 25-man roster. If the Indians feel like he's the best guy for the job, they'll do that, certainly. You know, they DFA'd Max Muroff the other day. There are a couple of players in the minor league system that you would risk losing if you designate them for assignment. So that's a consideration, certainly. So Wojciechowski is a guy who may get an opportunity because, hey, let's face it, the only thing the Cleveland Indians had going for them over the rest of the American League Central is that rock-solid, probably best in the American League rotation. And now 40% of that rotation is gone for the long term, right? So you've got to fill that spot. It would not surprise me if the Indians maybe even look outside the organization to try and shore up that pitching staff. But I guess the good news is they know that they're going to be getting those guys back at some point during the season. So a permanent solution, somebody that jumps into that rotation, I don't know if they want to go that way so much in terms of going outside the organization and having to give up prospects or something of that nature, which is why the Dallas Keuchel talk kind of came and went pretty quickly. That's a lot of money to give up for a guy who, you know, is Keuchel better than everybody that you've got in your rotation if they're all healthy? You'd probably rather have him maybe than a Shane Bieber, although he is better than any fifth starter I've seen in a long, long time. So the question is a good one. The answers are not easy, but that's why the Indians front office gets paid the big bucks.
Yes, that's exactly why they get paid the big bucks. Well, Ryan, we know you're really busy. You got a lot going on right now, so we certainly do appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to hearing you pre, post, and during the intermission reports tonight as well.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Again, Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Time for a break. Steve Bailey and I will return after this. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon coming your way today from the Lorain Public Library System Studios on AM 930 WEOL.